In December, the governor submitted a deficit budget to the legislature. It's a starting point, and there's no funding for any of several major hydroelectric projects in Southeast. Sitka asked for $18.5 million to complete the Blue Lake Hydro expansion. The governor left open the possibility of an add-on, but Jonathan Christ Tompkins is not crossing his fingers.
I wouldn't say it's likely.
2 years ago, $18 million would have been small potatoes in the state's capital budget. Now that he's having to pull money out of savings to make ends meet, the governor is probably going to rein in spending significantly.
The year before I got into the legislature, back in the era of surpluses, was the legislative add-ons were, I think, in the neighborhood of $2 billion. And last year, the legislative add-ons were in the neighborhood of $400 million. So that's shrinking fourfold.
But it's not nothing for Sitka or other communities in Christ Tompkins District. Sitka, for instance, will see several million dollars for long overdue repairs to the water system.
My personal priority for capital projects are basic infrastructure, and that's the foundation of a community. And I absolutely think we need to take care of basic infrastructure before anything else.
Does basic infrastructure include $25 million for a new swimming pool at the state-owned Mount Edgecombe Boarding School? Although the base funding was approved by voters in a bond package 2 years ago, there's been a tug of war over the supplemental funding needed to make that project a reality. Christ Tompkins thinks the $1 million in estimated annual operating costs is curbing the Department of Education's enthusiasm for the project. He just hopes whatever happens makes sense.
I mean, I'm just really interested in the fiscally responsible outcome.
The shortfall in state funding this year was planned, a deliberate move on the part of the governor and a Republican majority in the legislature to stimulate investment in oil production on the North Slope. The oil tax cut, which is known as Senate Bill 21, makes no sense to Christ Tompkins. He says the big three oil producers made almost $10 billion in Alaska last year before the tax break. Christ Tompkins and his Senate counterpart, Bert Stedman, see eye to eye on this point.
If you're making literally billions upon billions of dollars in profit, where is the incentive not to invest? I mean, it's a cash cow up there. It's incredibly profitable to drill in Alaska. And we're not an oligarchy. We're not going to nationalize. We're not going to create the Alaska State Oil Company and take all their assets like what happens in the Middle East or elsewhere. So that's what I consistently find myself asking. And the argument that we need to cut taxes even more and that they need to have even more profitable fields for them to invest seems so fundamentally logically flawed.
Christ Tompkins spent the day in Sitka meeting with constituents before his interview. A major concern was how many people are not being served by the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare.
It's tragic. There's a donut hole into which people fall.
The Supreme Court in 2012 upheld the ACA, but allowed governors to opt out of a provision to expand Medicaid to working people living above the poverty line, but who don't qualify for subsidies to help pay their premiums. It turns out there are a lot of fishermen and deckhands who fall into the donut hole, and Christ Tompkins says there's not a thing the legislature can do about it.
I wish we could, but we cannot. It's the governor's decision. And the governor has said he's very concerned about these people who are uninsured. And, I mean, who isn't concerned about people who are uninsured and that he's going to take steps to address the problem? We haven't heard what those steps are.
Last year, Christ Tompkins took a listen-and-learn approach to the legislature and deliberately refrained from introducing his own bills. This year, he's pre-filed a bill co-sponsored by a fellow Democrat and two Republicans, making the 21 native languages still spoken in Alaska official state languages. There won't be any bilingual signs or state documents, as in Canada. In fact, no added bureaucracy whatsoever. Christ Tompkins said it's just an acknowledgement of the importance of native languages to culture. He says he spoke with an Alaskan artist living in Seattle who told him that
this bill is inspiring. It acknowledges the importance of what I've dedicated my life to. And he's considering moving back to his hometown to try to apprentice with an elder to learn his language. So, I mean, I really, truly believe, I mean, it's a symbolic change, but it's going to lead to real action through the empowerment of these cultures and these languages.
2014 is an election year. Whatever happens in November, Christ Tompkins won't be representing communities like Haines or Metlakatla next year. His new district reunites Sitka and Petersburg. Christ Tompkins supports the change. He calls the redistricting process a fiasco and the current map modern art. Although he's recently returned from a visit to Petersburg, he plans to take the high road and represent the voters who put him in office rather than those who may send him back.
In a political campaign sense, you know, when I'm running for re-election, it very much does change my thinking. But there isn't really, you know, say a Petersburg issue that I'm suddenly going to be championing and a Haines issue I'm suddenly not going to be working on.
Christ Tompkins seems buoyed by the prospect of returning to Juneau. He put his legislative vanity license plate with the number 37 on his bicycle. He's 24 years old, turning 25 in February. His first day in the last session was memorable. He thinks this session will be different. At least they won't mistake me for an intern, he says. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.